Good afternoon. I'm Professor Scarano from the History Department, and I want to thank the Haven Center for allowing and funding the visit of Raquel Rivera this afternoon. This is the second of three appearances she will be making on the Madison campus. Raquel is a student of a number of fields that intersect around the music of contemporary Latinos and African Americans, mostly hip-hop and reggaeton. As I arrived yesterday at home, I actually had a copy of your reggaeton book at home that I had ordered from Amazon. It's very, very affordable, by the way. only $15. Raquel is a research associate, a researcher at the Center for Puerto Rican Studies at Hunter College in the City University of New York. Her areas of scholarship are popular music and culture, race and ethnicity, nation and diaspora, and the intersection between Latino and Africana studies. Her first book precisely does that extremely well by looking at the participation of Latino, mostly Puerto Ricans, in New York City in the phenomena of hip-hop. Author of New Yorkers in the Hip-Hop Zone, which was published by Palgrave Macmillan in 2003, and numerous articles on popular music. She is the co-editor of the anthology Reggaeton with Wayne Marshall and Deborah Pacini Hernandez that was just published by Duke University Press. A freelance journalist, Raquel has been published in various magazines, both in the United States and in her native Puerto Rico. Singer-songwriter, and she is a member of the Puerto Rican Bomba group, Alma Moyo, and a founding and former member of Boricua, Roots. There you go. Boricua Roots music group, Yerba Buena, and the women's musical collective, Yaya. Is it Yaya or Yaya?
It's Yaya.
Yaya. Dedicated to Puerto Rican Bomba and Dominican Salves. And Puerto Rican Bomba is one of the featured musical genres this afternoon. Yesterday she had a really wonderful and very well-attended talk on reggaeton sociosonic circuitry from Jamaica and New York to Panama, Puerto Rico, and beyond. That was yesterday. Today, she will speak on New York Bomba, Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, and a bridge called Haiti. Tomorrow at 12:20 p.m. in 8108 here in this building, but on the front side of the building, she will be holding an open seminar in which if you want to ask questions of her work or of other people's work that she knows about, certainly she'll be willing to and eager to respond. So without further ado, please help me welcome Raquel Rivera.
I'm very pleased to be here, and I have to say that what Professor Scarano said about being a student of music, I was just having a conversation with Willie Ney this at noon, and I was saying how that label of being an expert just makes me, I'm a student of hip-hop, of reggaeton, of bomba, of Dominican palos. I like that approach as an academic. I like that way of thinking about doing this work. I'm wondering how many of you are familiar with Puerto Rican bomba music. So only a few, okay, good. So I'm glad that I decided to pull up some clips from YouTube to show, I mean, bomba has so many different manifestations in terms of regions, in terms of artistic taste. Throughout history, it has changed a lot. So I just pulled up two clips to give you an idea of some of the ways that bomba has been presented to the public or manifested in public spaces. And I will get more into the specifics of the music in my talk later on, but first I just want to show you some visual examples. So the first one, probably the best known performers of bomba music in Puerto Rico is a family called La Familia Cepeda. So I picked a clip, actually an old clip, maybe from the 70s, I think. And the featured dancer is the matriarch of the family who passed away, Caridad Cepeda. And what I want you to notice, and a really important aspect of bomba music, is that the lead drummer interacts with the dancer. So while most of the drummers are keeping a constant beat going, there's one drummer following and responding to the movements of the dancer. So you'll see that in this clip here. Also, something good to keep in mind is that there's many different styles of bomba. So the rhythm that they're playing here is called juba. So the woman who was speaking is Margarita, also known as Tata Cepeda, who's right now the best known bomba dancer in Puerto Rico and is the granddaughter of the woman that you saw dancing. And I'll talk a little bit more about Margarita Cepeda later on. So unfortunately, in the audio here, you couldn't really hear the lead drum following all the steps, but at least visually, you could see that the lead drummer was really paying attention to the dancer. And something else that I want to bring up is the way that folks are dressed. That's usually the way bomba has been represented on the stage. And the young folks in New York City that I'll be concentrating on that do bomba music are actually not into dressing like that, because they don't like to make that distinction about bomba on a stage versus the rest of the folks present, and also this notion of bomba being stuck in time, where you have to wear these dresses that recall plantation times. But I will talk about that more later. As an example of this kind of community off the stage bomba, I picked another clip. This is also bomba from in Puerto Rico. If I close this tab, will it make the whole Safari go away, or will I just be closing this window? A second. Okay, here they are. So here is a clip, bomba in the town of Loíza. Thank you. those of you who have danced bomba know that it feels incredibly powerful for a drum to be responding to your movements while all this other music is happening, more drumming, people joining in the music. So this context, especially of community music making, is really powerful. And as you can see, folks are just dressed in their normal clothes. And this is how people usually do it off the stage, not all the time. So that's a little bit of visual and sonics in terms of bomba. And I also want to play for you clips from a different type of music from another island, but which is relevant to my talk today. And that is Rara music, or Gaga. From Rara is what the music is called on the Haitian part of the island, and Gaga is what the same music is called on the Dominican part of the island. So first, for a clip of Gaga in the Dominican Republic, this is a celebration that happens around Semana Santa, Holy Week, and basically it's a procession that goes down the street. So people dress up in costumes, and the instruments are these, well, there's drums, but there's these trumpet-like instruments that take turns making sounds. So, yeah, that wasn't much of the Gaga. I guess I had it running. Okay, this is another clip that just came up. So those are the costumes that men wear. Okay, and now the same expression, but in New York City, by young people. Let's see. Okay, this is Gaga Rara in New York City. So it's music tied to spiritual and community ceremonies.
It's get away from frustration. Believe me, after a week of work, hey, those Haitians need a place to scream, to let out their feelings. You know what I'm saying? A week of work, you in a country where the language is not yours, where you struggle for every single day. That's the only thing. It's like a remedy for those guys. Coming here, it's church for them.
It's a lot of things for Asians, especially those who struggle, you know. A lot of people singing, you know, singing like, you know, they're singing for freedom.
We can't forget this music because it helped us get our independence despite what we're going through right now.
Forthcoming documentary on Rara. And each one of these genres is usually talked about in terms of the ethnicity of most of the folks who participate in it and who are part of that originating history. But within this Rara scene, Haitian definitely dominated, there are a lot of Dominicans and Puerto Ricans that participate. And in the bomba scene in New York City, there's a lot of Puerto Ricans and Haitians who participate. So keep in mind this while I make my opening remarks. And I'm going to tell you, recount something that I witnessed, and the group that I showed playing in Brooklyn last. This is, they're called Ja Ra Ra. So this is one time that I went to see Ja Ra Ra in 1995. I had just witnessed an energetic performance by the Brooklyn-based Haitian roots music ensemble Ja Ra Ra at a show produced by the Caribbean Cultural Center in a large Manhattan theater space. Ja Ra Ra's main dancer had particularly captivated me. He was short, stocky, young, light skin, with a big and bouncy belly. So you can imagine wearing that colorful skirt and being really fluid with his movements and with a big belly. He was quite a sight to behold. I was still electrified by the musicians and dancers who had left the stage only minutes before and was only half listening to the mistress of ceremony, who was waxing eloquent about the cultural similarities between Latinos and other African descendants. And that's when she was introducing the next group coming up after the Haitian group Ja Ra Ra, and she said that this group was a Latino group, and she kept talking about the group, but suddenly there was a voice behind me that said, "Latino? Oh, hell no." And I was really wanting to turn back, but I was trying to be polite, so I kept looking at the front. And the mistress of ceremony kept talking. And then once she said Latino, once again, the same voice said, quote, "We gotta stop with that Latino thing. It just separates us from each other. If we're black, we're black. That's it." I finally looked at the direction of the voice, and it was the dancer who had been on stage before, and he was surrounded by all the members of Ja Ra Ra. And later that night, somebody introduced us, a mutual friend, and it turned out his name was Jose Figueroa. He was then in his early 20s, born in the Dominican Republic, and raised in New York City. Back when I met Jose Figueroa, I was doing my dissertation research on New York Puerto Ricans in hip hop, and what Jose had said really brought to mind the objections that hip hop artists had expressed to being labeled as Latino. Especially one specific artist that I interviewed for my book, Q Unique, who really resented being placed under the Latino umbrella, but just as much, he resented being placed under the African-American umbrella. He really wanted to foreground his nationality, not his pan-ethnicity, or not being lumped under what he called the African-American umbrella. However, Jose Figueroa, that night, was really emphasizing that he didn't want to be called Latino because somehow he viewed that as minimizing his identity as a black man. So I want to show you a more recent clip of Jose Figueroa dancing. He no longer dances with Ja Ra Ra. He established a group called Kalunga that brings together Haitians and Dominicans. So this is a performance in 2006. This is Jose Figueroa. He was one of the founders of Kalunga. And in that group that you're going to see today, there are three Dominicans, two Puerto Ricans, and three Haitians. And you definitely can't tell who is who by phenotype. You know, there is this stereotype that a Haitian would be darker than a Dominican, and a Dominican would be darker than a Puerto Rican, but the folks in this group completely distort that perception. So this is the same type of music that you saw before, done in New York City by the group that Jose Figueroa founded. Thank you. the beginning of the Quisqueyan the Hudson Festival. And I wanted to play this clip because it highlights José Figueroa's dancing, but also because the members of Kalunga, some of them Dominican and some of them Puerto Rican, have been a crucial part of other Puerto Rican music groups. So anyway, all of this to say that all these folks play with each other, play each other's music, and this is a large scene that really crosses borders between Dominican, Haitian, and Puerto Rican music. And my focus of interest is the fact that these artists really want to foreground Afro-diasporic expressions, traditions, myths, knowledge, identities, and solidarities for aesthetic, political, philosophical, social, etc. reasons. A foregrounding that questions the hegemonic notions of Latin American or Latino nationality, ethnicity, or pan-ethnicity. And I'm particularly interested that these artists question that under the guise of inclusiveness, these labels of being Latin American or Latino, especially by shunning the way that blackness is part of being Latino or Latin American, these artists are very concerned by the fact that this keeps perpetuating blackness. Robert Farris Thompson, who's an art historian, has often invoked the poignant image of New York as the crossroads of Afro-diasporic cultures. He has talked about hip-hop, about salsa, mambo, tango. So to me, that image of New York being the crossroads is once again made true by these kinds of expressions. So on to my main topic of interest, which is bomba. Bomba is probably the most African of Puerto Rican cultural traditions. As I mentioned before, it encompasses many different rhythmic patterns. So the first one that you heard was Yubá. The second one in the town of Loíza was a Seis Corrido, which is played a lot in that town. So there's all these ways in which bomba is expressed. And many of these rhythmic patterns, often even with the same names, are present all over the Caribbean and even in the southern United States. So for example, I mentioned that Yubá was the rhythm being played in the first clip. And there's a music genre in the United States called Yubá, and it's also present in other places in the Caribbean. In Puerto Rico, there's calinda, one bomba rhythm, and there's a big calinda tradition in Trinidad, also in Cuba. So this is something that's very important to the folks that are making bomba, to some folks that are making bomba, especially these young folks whose work I'm highlighting today. It's really important to highlight those linkages between Caribbean islands. And bomba lyrics often incorporate words and phrases derived from Congo Bantu languages and also from Haitian Creole. So all this Dominican, Haitian, Puerto Rican collaborations have a lot to do with this history of bomba, where Haitians and their descendants, after the Haitian Revolution, there was a big migration to Puerto Rico, to Cuba, to New Orleans. So bomba definitely soaked up a lot of those Haitian influences, and that's why to this day there's still lyrics, bomba lyrics in Creole. That for a long time, folks who had been branded experts in bomba but should have been called students of bomba kept saying, oh, and this is even in a recent documentary. I don't know how many of you have seen Raíces, the 2001 musical special / documentary that the Banco Popular put out dedicated to bomba and plena. And in it, a very well-known musicologist in Puerto Rico is talking about bomba lyrics often being nonsense, and just percussive and melodic patterns, kind of like scatting. And sometimes it is, but oftentimes it's just that lyrics derived from Creole. Folks really didn't have a frame of reference to really figure out what these lyrics were about or where they were coming from. So in recent times, especially because of this renewed interest in bomba by young people in their 20s, especially both in the diaspora and in Puerto Rico, these young folks have been at the forefront of really pushing forward and trying to figure out those linkages of bomba to Haiti, especially. So these are artists that are also scholars, and have been doing a lot of interviewing older folks, a lot of reading, connecting the dots between many different traditions. One of the songs, for example, that is part of what at this point can be called the bomba canon, the songs that get sung over and over, maybe some of you who are familiar with bomba, there's this one song that the chorus goes, Miserere Congo Misie, ¿dónde está mi Congo Lare? And that, those lyrics are derived from Creole. In English, they would be translated as, my sir, Congo, my sir, where is my Congo queen? And the Haitian influences in this song are both linguistic and spiritual, because the Congo queen, or the La Reine Congo, is a family of spirits within Haitian vodou. So here we have, within the bomba tradition, that often folks in Puerto Rico, because we have been so trained in this cultural nationalist way of viewing our culture, we don't realize how connected we are to other places in the Caribbean. So this is one really good example, because the connections are linguistic and also spiritual. There's another song that for many years has been kind of stored away in Indiana University. It's part of a series of recordings that J. Alden Mason, an anthropologist, made at the beginning of the 20th century. And those songs hadn't really been circulating in bomba circuits maybe for 60 years. And then some young scholars, part of this generation, went to Indiana University, made copies, and then it has spread like wildfire in recent times. So I want to play for you a clip from one of those songs that also has that linguistic and spiritual connection to Haitian traditions. And this is a performance by the group Alma Moyo, the group that I'm a part of. And actually, I'll just let this play. Damba Yaribe means Dambala, is the name of a spirit that represents the holy serpent. So it goes, the holy serpent has arrived. So again, there's this connection to Haitian vodou in a song that's part of the Puerto Rican Bomba tradition. I want to point out, right there on the screen, you see Veronica Valentin, who's one of the most amazing bomba dancers of the young generation. The woman who's singing, her name is Manuela Arciniegas, and she's Dominican. And she is one of the only women drummers in this tradition of bomba. So kind of ironic that one of the icons, I mean, people get really excited, especially other women, when we see women drumming in a male-dominated space, especially the side of the culture that has been most male-dominated, the drumming. And it turns out people sometimes have kind of mixed feelings when they're like, oh, you're such a wonderful representative of Puerto Rican womanhood, and then it turns out she's Dominican. So, yeah, she kind of messes with people's minds. And incidentally, two of the other drummers that were there performing this expression of national Puerto Rican culture are also Dominican. So constantly, the way that bomba is expressed, especially in the New York context, constantly messes with people's notions of what should be. Then again, there's not that many people preserving and continuing these traditions. So sometimes, you know, folks that initially object, then they're like, well, I can't really object too much because then who's going to do it? So these are some of the contradictions that come up. So the founder of this group, his name is Alexander Lasalle. Alma Moyo began in 2002, and Alexander was 23 years old then. So this is definitely a youth-led cultural scene. And there's many other groups like Alma Moyo. I'm just taking Alma Moyo as one example, especially because I know it really well from the inside. And often in performances, artists will take the opportunity to be didactic, and sometimes a little bit too didactic, but it definitely serves a purpose of trying to educate regarding a tradition that is really not that well known. I mean, people will throw around the term bomba y plena as if it's the same genre. It's actually two different genres. And people will proudly claim those traditions, but only, as we say in Spanish, de la boca para afuera, from the mouth to the outside, but not really knowing much about these traditions. So this is Alma Moyo at the New Eureka Poets Cafe.
Esta música se toca alrededor del Caribe. Se toca en Guadalupe, se llama boca.
So he's saying this music is played all around the Caribbean. It's called Guoca in Martinique, Belé in Guadeloupe.
Se toca en Haití, en Cuba, se llama tumba.
In Haiti and Cuba, it's called tumba.
Entonces toca alrededor del Caribe.
This is played around the Caribbean. From Puerto Rico down and from Puerto Rico up.
We're one people, don't forget it.
We're one people, don't forget it. So this is very typical of these performances.
Tócame la bomba, tócame la bien. Tócame la bomba, dale magia.
So that song, the chorus says, tócame la bomba, tócame la bien, tócame la bomba, la de Mayagüez. Play that bomba well, play that bomba from the town of Mayagüez. And that Mayagüez connection is really important because for a really long time, the two traditions that were well known in Puerto Rico in terms of bomba were from the town of Santurce, where the Cepeda family is from, the family that I mentioned in the first clip, and the tradition from Loíza. But Bomba is an island-wide tradition, and most recently for this generation, that is really invested in trans-Caribbean connections, the town of Mayagüez and that whole western coast of Puerto Rico is really important because the Haitian influence and the Dominican influence there is particularly strong. Actually, all around that coast and even in the southern part of Puerto Rico, there's that strong influence also. But Mayagüez has kind of become a symbol of Haitian connections, but also young people questioning the hegemony of over the way Bomba is thought of, just in terms of the traditions of Santurce and Loíza. So it's also young people saying, okay, there's other traditions, there's other masters, like, can we please widen the scope of what's considered Bomba? And this next clip that I'm going to play, also by Alma Moyo, and it's also Alexander singing. Well, I'm going to play it first, and then I will tell you a little bit more about it. A song that Alex composed. It's called Mariano, in honor of his grandfather, Mariano Lasalle, who passed away, a descendant of Haitians, and a bomba singer from the town of Moca, which is next to Mayagüez. So you see this very light-skinned young man, which sometimes throws people off, especially with his insistence on Haitian this, Haitian that, and I mean, he's also part of that generation that really resents the Latino label, who claims blackness, and the irony is that he's very light-skinned. And I mean, we can get into that, even if he wasn't the grandchild of Mariano Lasalle, you know, he's entitled to do Bomba. I mean, this is not about entitlement. It's just about the way that artists connect with what they're doing. And for Alex, it's a really personal connection, that Haitian connection. And in that song, it's a really good example of what a lot of young people are doing. They're kind of cutting and pasting. I mean, at this point, these young people are not fluent in Haitian Creole, but are cutting and pasting from older songs and integrating bits and pieces of Creole into the lyrics that they're composing for new songs. So for example, in this one, the chorus is Mariano es Cico Colé. So it's put in the voice of his grandfather's friend who's calling out, Mariano, I am Cico Colé, I'm your friend. And the verses, sometimes he says, Ucone San Se Mue. So he's bringing in, again, Haitian Creole. Ucone means you know, and San Se Mue means my saint. So in there, he's like throwing in all this family history of two Haitian descendants who practiced religions that are tied to Haitian Vodun. So all these connections happening inside Bomba. And I want to bring in a comment that Alex made during a performance of Alma Moyo at a small club in East Harlem called Jake's that was kind of the Bomba scene's hotspot for about a year or so. It closed down, unfortunately. But at one point during the performance, he said, to hell with ballroom, well, actually, he said it in Spanish, al carajo con la bomba de salón, Esto es bomba cimarrona. So in English, to hell with ballroom bomba, this is maroon bomba. And that was a great moment for me because it really exemplified the young generation grappling with this version of bomba for the stage and the costume and the supposed rules of elegance and straight backs and don't move your hips too much. It's definitely a reaction against that, but it had also been a direct reaction to something that had happened about 6 months before. There's this big festival in New York City called El Bomplenazo that happens at Hostos Community College, where groups from all over the United States and Puerto Rico come to play. So there had been this bombazo, this community gathering at a small space after the main performances, and a dancer from Puerto Rico, who I mentioned earlier, Margarita Tata Cepeda, she was part of the bombazo. It was a beautiful space. A lot of young people had danced. I, as a participant, was really happy. I even felt really proud because there were all these folks from Puerto Rico who often tend to look down on the expressions of the diaspora as kind of watered down or too hybrid for their taste. So some of the young people who are the best dancers in New York City, teenagers and folks in their early 20s, had just danced, and I was feeling so good and so proud. And suddenly Margarita Cepeda stops the bombazo and says, "This is disrespectful. That's it. I can't really permit this. I can't condone this." And we were all really puzzled, like, what is happening? So what she said was that she was offended with the way that young people were taking bomba and were mixing it with hip hop and were mixing it with rumba. What she didn't know was that the young people there actually weren't mixing that much with rumba. They were mixing it more with Dominican palos because there were many, many Dominicans there, and she probably didn't know that. Yeah, she was very taken aback with what was happening, but we were taken aback that what is a community celebration in New York City suddenly could be stopped by this really important figure who commands a lot of respect. So folks were torn between the respect owed to this beautiful, amazing dancer, but we were all like, wait, but aren't we all, you know, many of us don't have a last name, some of us just started the other day, but still, wasn't this beautiful? Like, what's going on here? So Alex's comment that day about this is maroon bomba definitely had a lot to do with that. And I'm very interested by this figure, this symbol of the maroon for young folks in bomba, in Dominican palos, in Haitian music. It seems to me that the young, even though maroons have been a symbol for centuries of liberation, folks that escaped plantation economy and just set up their own societies all throughout the Caribbean, the Circum-Caribbean, and elsewhere. But in the music that is being produced, especially this music by young people that is looking back to older traditions, there's this desire to connect with maroonage. So that theme is incorporated in songs, it's incorporated into the names of groups. So there's a group in New Jersey that formed about 6 months ago called Cimarrón, Maroon. In California, there's a production company that's connected to bomba over there, female-led, and it's called Cimarrona. So definitely, I mean, and those are just two examples. There's many, many examples of this. So I definitely want to get to everything I want to get to. So what I'll do is quote from Manuel Arciniegas, who you saw doing lead singing earlier in that song Damba Yaribe, and I mentioned that she's Dominican. So her personal story, I think, really highlights how young people in New York City are doing this work together and what they think about it. So she says she grew up, quote, speaking Puerto Rican Spanish in the South Bronx. She was raised in the South Bronx from the age of about 5 or 6, and at that point, the Dominican community wasn't as big as it is now. So many Dominicans who have been in New York since prior the big influx of Dominicans are very tied into the Puerto Rican community because that's the Latino community that they came into. So she's currently 28 years old, and she began playing both Dominican and Puerto Rican roots music. So she began playing bomba and also Dominican palos around the same time that she returned to New York once she finished her undergrad degree. And this is the quote, her quote. "My spirit called me to bomba early. I had access to palos and I loved it. But then something happened with bomba where it was a new beginning. I always felt like it was mine, and it's strange because I'm Dominican. But it's like my spirit is saying, no, this is a big part of what you are. So when I started hearing about the Haitian roots of bomba, I got really excited. I'm like, oh, the point of connection was like 3 generations ago with my Haitian ancestors and your Haitian ancestors, and they're on both islands. Let's celebrate that. It's important to get rooted in those spaces where the cultures overlap, the times overlap, descendancies overlap." So for Manuela and many others of that generation who are not only artists, but who are also educators and activists, there's this sense that bomba is connected to blackness in a way that reaches back to into history, but that is very much rooted in the present. And that's a very important part of their criticism of the way folkloric bomba has been presented, because the folkloric representations of bomba freeze it in a certain point of time and have gotten co-opted in terms of this discourse in Puerto Rico that we're all the same and there's no racism. So the reason why these young artists are emphasizing so much the Haitian connection and are emphasizing so much blackness is because they want to speak about present blackness, not only back in plantation times and those were the troublesome times and now everybody gets along fine. They're saying no, there's deep racial rifts in this society and we need to address them. So it's kind of connecting to the past but with a very political and educational and social purpose. And this is true for almost all the artists in this scene. These are folks in their 20s who are figuring out the way around the artistic scene and around their lives, and most of them are teaching artists. So they're developing their craft, they're in the schools and the after-school programs, and the Caribbean Cultural Center that I mentioned earlier, who had put that had put together that show where I had met Jose Figueroa, the dancer that I opened this up with. The Caribbean Cultural Center is like a nexus where a lot of these artists connect, and they have been already 30 years plus in existence, and this is kind of the younger generation who has come through the Caribbean Cultural Center, but who are establishing their own groups, institutions, and are trying to push the same work forward. So in challenging those dominant discourses about the nation being this racial paradise, we all get along, or in challenging that notion of Latinidad, like Jose Figueroa did that night, saying, no, don't call me Latino, I'm black, and that's it. These young folks are an example of something larger that's happening in New York City. This is a much, much wider movement. Different people do it in different ways. Some use just politics, others are going the artistic route around it, some are using hip hop, And these artists that I have been speaking about today use what they call roots music to do that kind of work. So some of the other groups that do this kind of work are, for example, between 4 to 6 members of Alma Moyo, the group that I have been talking about, have at one point or another been part of Dominican roots music groups, La 21 División, Palomonte, Palomayor, Claudio Fortunato y Subguedese, and Calunga. Then there's other groups like Yaya, for example, and I was one of the founders of that group, and we decided to do Puerto Rican Bomba and Dominican Salves, and we're all women, and we really decided to focus on those two traditions because there's so much tension between Puerto Ricans and Dominicans in New York City. Despite all the similarities, there is a lot of tension, and we thought it would serve a good purpose to just concentrate on those two traditions. There's many other groups. One of them, actually, what I want to do is end with that. So what I want to do before I show you that clip is, I don't know how many of you know Los Pleneros de la 21. It's a group that has been Grammy nominated. They do plena, they do bomba. And they're kind of the four parents of these younger groups. So Juango Gutierrez, who's the director and the founder of the Pleneros de la 21, is really connected. Some of these young people play in Los Pleneros de la 21. In fact, some of these young people that you just saw playing went in at 3 years old into the Pleneros de la 21 children's workshop. So this is definitely a, you know, passing down of the generations in terms of this music. But I was really interested. I was asking Juango Gutierrez in terms of the way Puerto Rican and Dominican musicians are interacting nowadays, like how was it different or similar to the way folks were interacting in the 60s and 70s and even 80s in New York City. And it really caught my attention that he said that the difference was that while in earlier decades, Puerto Ricans and Dominican musicians were juntos pero no revueltos, together but not all mixed in together, nowadays, the young musicians were juntos y revuelto. So, you know, folks are just all, it's one big, you know, mix. And he didn't say it like an insult. It was just the way it is. And I agree, that's a really good way of describing it. So what I want to end with, and later I have some other footage here, but and we can go back to that during the Q&A, but I want to end with a clip from Ilu Aye, and they are actually like the younger generation from that younger generation that I've been talking about. So these folks are mostly in their teens and early 20s, and it's almost like the youngest of each of the established groups then formed their own group. So it's almost like each generation is desiring to make new things and create new things, but based on this tradition. And this song called Mue Ale really brings together a lot of what I've been talking about, because most of the young folks, not surprisingly, most of the folks in this group, Ilu Aye, are Dominican and Puerto Rican. This is an original song composed by one of the members of the group. His name is... Okay. I'll let you hear it in a second. His name is Osvaldo Lora, and he's one of the best-known young singers of Cuban ritual music. So I haven't been talking much about the Cuban connection precisely because Cuban music has been almost hegemonic in terms of the cultural scene in New York City for many reasons that we can get into later. So I've chosen to focus on this Dominican-Puerto Rican connection, but there's also this Cuban connection that I haven't really gone much into. So the style in which Obaldo is singing this song in really recalls Yoruba chants of the Cuban tradition. He definitely, and sometimes people, elders in the Bomba tradition, criticize him because he's not singing in the Puerto Rican style of Bomba. He's sounding like he was singing Cuban ritual music, but this is Obaldo's style, and I think it's absolutely beautiful. And the lyrics are Mue Ale, I am going, and that bit is in Creole, Mue Ale, and then comes in the Spanish, A Mayagüe. So the narrative of the song is imagined from the perspective of a Haitian in the Dominican Republic saying, I'm going to make it across the Mona Canal into Mayagüez. So it's one way, again, of connecting to that Haitian history, that town of Mayagüez, as a very important symbol in this, in the imagination of these young artists. Up to dance are from Mayagüez, so that, you know, it kind of completes the circle, and they're from a very well-known Bomba family in Mayagüez. And I just want to point out, you probably noticed that each time a dancer comes to the front of the drum, sometimes somebody escorts them to the front of the drum, and then they go like this or they go like this. So it's supposedly the secular tradition. I mean, this is a bar in East Harlem. It's called Camaradas. Yet there's all this acknowledgement of a spiritual component, and you're supposed to salute the drum because the drum has a spiritual connection to you. So, yeah, I think I'll just leave it right here and then see where our conversation takes us. Thank you very much. Put and paste this. Click on it?
Yeah, click on it.
Okay, so this is Jaja, maybe 2 years ago at the New Yorican Poets Cafe in New York City. And wow, something is happening here. Oh, good. Thank you. is called La Morena, which means the black woman, and it's a song for the virgin. So this tradition, not surprisingly, it's dominated by women because most of the songs are about the virgin and celebrating the Virgin Mary. So, and the ages in the group range from the eldest member is 53, the youngest 19. At this point, Yaya is kind of in a hiatus because some of us are mothers, grandmothers, students. It's been a really difficult group to keep together because, making music is not paying the bills. And, you know, children and grandchildren and studying and working gets really complicated. But it's been a really interesting history behind that group. And there's also other all-women's group in Puerto Rico, in California. So there's some exciting stuff happening there.
What were you playing with? I think it was like 2004 or 5. It was in it was in Harlem somewhere. At like it was at the Puerto Rican Studies Association. There were men there, so there were like men on the drums.
The Puerto Rican Studies Association conference.
It was like after at night in Harlem. It was in Harlem.
East Harlem.
Yeah.
So that'd have been Jake's. That was probably Alma Moyo.
It was like a little small, like you go downstairs.
Yes, that was Jake's, and that was Alma Moyo. Oh wait! But it may have been a night where some of the Yaya members couldn't show up last minute, so we brought some men to help us out. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's give a very warm applause. Thank you.